Magic Drive Time, presented by International Diamond Center, Orlando's direct diamond importer and the exclusive jeweler of the Orlando Magic, hits the road now.
Broadcasting live inside the Orlando Magic Studios, here's your host, Aaron Berlin.
I mean, I just think right now again is obviously you have to know where you are. I mean, what we have to do is what we're doing. Like, we had a good session here this morning. Guys are good concentration and everything. And you got to play the game, and then you got to see this was good, this was bad. Same thing we did in Toronto. And then just get ready to play the next game. You know, we're 7 games in 12 nights. And again, it's all about how you play. You got to play well.
Got to take it one day at a time. Got to take it one game at a time. Can't look too far ahead. That is the mantra of Magic head coach Steve Clifford. Is Magic getting set for what is the second game of this road trip as they travel to Gotham tonight? Well, they will take on a New York Knickerbockers team that recently snapped an 18-game slide inside their home venue. How about this? They won the other night. It was the first time since December 1 that they had won inside their home building. You talk about teams struggling, teams riding that struggle bus. It's been the New York Knicks all season long. How about this? The Magic, though, winners of 6 of their last 7, 8 of their last 10. They kept the good times rolling with a win over the Toronto Raptors and those Dinosaurs, 113-98 on Sunday. The win marked the Magic's 4th straight road win by at least 15 points. And in their past 10 contests, their average margin of victory, 17.3 points. So something is going right in Magic Land. Something is going right. And I can tell you one guy who's been an integral piece of that, that would be Terrence Ross during this 10-game stretch. T-Ross has averaged 19.5 points per game over the course of his last 10, including 28 on Sunday. So you're looking for reasons why this team has turned a corner. The defensive play of not only Jonathan Isaac, but also Wes Iwundu, but also the offensive outputs of your all-star in Nick Vucevic, and also the continuousness of what you're getting out of Terrence Ross. It's been great. So that is what we have scheduled for you here today. We're going to talk Magic and Knicks. We'll also talk about Magic in the playoff series. We'll talk with Yaron Weitzman of the Bleacher Report coming up here in a matter of moments. He's up in New York. We'll talk to him about the Knicks. We'll also talk to him about the rest of the NBA and what is going on. But this should be a fun one. This should be a fun show. Just a reminder, it's never too early to secure your tickets for the 1920 season. With a full season plan, you can enjoy every Orlando Magic home game all season long for as low as $12 per game. All you got to do is visit OrlandoMagic.com/tickets to get your full season plan today. Okay, as the Magic begin this day, they are just a half game out of the 8th and final spot of the Eastern Conference. They will take on the New York Knicks, and today we go to New York where we are joined by Yaron Weitzman of Bleacher Report. He does a great job covering the NBA for the Bleacher Report, also looks at this Knicks team. He's in New York, so has a close eye on them. First on, Yaron, thank you so much for taking the time and joining us. We really appreciate this, man.
My pleasure. I appreciate you inviting me, having me on.
Oh, anytime. So let's talk about this Knicks team. I don't think there is a team in the NBA that is more excited to lose basketball games than the New York Knicks. I'll tell you what, they've got some good, interesting young pieces there, most notably after the Kristaps trade.
I mean, the funny thing, though, with them is it's classic Knicks fashion, right, is they would lose and they finally figure out how to tank properly and lose all those games the year they flatten the odds a bit. So it's like, you know, the bottom three, I think the number is 14%. The bottom three teams all are 14%.
Yep.
And there's no difference if you're last or third to last. So it's, you know, even when they do it right, they do it wrong. But, yeah, it's, I guess, listen, better position than they've been in years past. There's no doubting that.
Absolutely. Now, let's talk about this because I think it's rare to be in a major market like that and almost have your entire fan base really kind of embracing this model that the Knicks are building. I mean, they're going to have the 2 max cap space, but they're more intrigued at what's going to happen in the offseason. Is it weird to see so many Knicks fans on board with what the team is doing right now?
I would actually say no. I think there's 2 things. I think, like, there's always been a misnomer. You can't rebuild in New York, and, you know, that's kind of a thing that people say. I always thought people said that more than people who actually live in New York, you know, who grew up here. It's more about, you know, people want to see a plan. And they want to see something smart and intelligent, and whatever the Knicks have been doing for the past 20, I think it's 1 playoff series win in 20 years. So, you know, it's not like they were tearing down some great thing here. The other thing I'd put that I would bring up is that this is 1 year, essentially. This isn't like a 4-year plan. Like, I'm curious to see what happens, and I'm sure we'll talk about this a little bit, if they don't get the free agent guys, then what do you do? Because I don't know if the appetite will be there for, you know, tanking or being a bottom 5 team for 2 straight years. 1 year, sure, we can handle that, right? We can handle that. You dangle Durant, you pretend like the shiny thing's coming, or Zion or whatever. Year 2, 3, you know, process, Sixers like process thing. I don't know if that would be if that would fly here.
Yeah, absolutely not. So let's talk about the trade first before we get into what they could potentially do in the offseason, because the trade set up everything that they might be able to do this summer. Trading Kristaps Porzingis seems to me like that relationship deteriorated really fast. I mean, everybody remembers that when the Knicks were picking on draft night and they selected Kristaps, really the only team that he wanted to go to was New York. How did that relationship just kind of fade away so fast? I mean, he seemed like someone who was enamored with the city and with the franchise and with being able to take that team back to the playoffs.
So, okay, so the enamored, the city part remains the case. It's the franchise that was the problem. He loved New York, loved, you know, present and past. The Knicks was the issue. I guess it kind of starts with the Phil Jackson thing, right? That kind of poisoned the well there, seeing how, you know, I mean, people remember that Kristaps skipped the exit meeting. There was the way Phil treated Carmelo. Just, I mean, the Knicks under Phil Jackson are a bit of a mess, right? We don't have to rehash all that. He was not a fan of that. From there, he just felt like, I guess I'll phrase it like this. I haven't been able, and I haven't heard anyone else able to pinpoint the one thing. Like, if you're looking for that one thing, you know, where somebody said X or Y or someone did this to him that made him think, you know what, I want out of here. I think it was just, you know, that's my 1,000 cuts type of thing where it's just he'd seen how the sausage was made. He wasn't a fan of things going on here. To be honest, again, we're not trying to touch on the same things here. You can't really blame him given all that has, you know, all that happened in the years past and how bad the Knicks have been. So this new regime, they've done some things decently, but it just wasn't enough to convince Kristaps. I think it was more just he felt like this wasn't a good place for his career to kind of take off.
Yeah, it just seems so weird to get rid of an all-star of that caliber so early before even his rookie-scale contract is up. Okay, let's talk about the return. Dennis Smith Jr., DeAndre Jordan, but in return, you send Kristaps, you send a handful of cap space, most notably Tim Hardaway Jr.'s contract. It frees up the summer. How was the trade received in New York? How happy are people getting DSJ back? He's been very good, but just kind of the general reception of how that was received in New York.
It's been interesting, right? It's been both extremes. I kind of thought there'd be more of a revolt, right? People love Kristaps. He's essentially the best player the Knicks have drafted since Patrick Ewing. He's fun. He was great. Obviously injured, which plays into a role. It's been both extremes, right, in terms of how New York's reacted. And I mean, everyone knows the two cap space thing, and New York fans love nothing more than assuming that every free agent wants to come play for the Knicks, because why wouldn't they, even though that usually doesn't happen. So, yeah, I mean, it's weird, right? It's weird. My personal opinion is I get why the trade was done. I always operate under the belief that if you know the guys are coming, if you know Durant, you know Kyrie are coming, you can figure out other ways to move and create the cap space without giving up your best player. And I think if you have those guys in, Kristaps will suddenly like being a Knick. But I get what they did, right? I get it. I understand it. I just think if you have guys like Porzingis are the guys you essentially tank to try to get. And once you have them, you should be doing everything you can to hold on to them.
Absolutely. And then also the flip side of that is, you know, you've kind of alluded to it. You talked about it earlier, but what if those two guys don't come? What if you're not able to fill both those cap spaces and then all of a sudden you're kind of left waiting in the wings without your former All-Star?
Yeah, that should be, if you're a Knicks fan, that should be the biggest fear, right? That they strike out on Durant, Kyrie, whoever else, you know, Kawhi, whoever the top guys are. And, you know, the GMs are left with making a decision of, do we roll over our cap space? And if doing so, see, our team's not going to be good next year. And then are we, you know, is our jobs in trouble? Or do you kind of max out, I don't know, a Kemba Walker and a Tobias Harris to make up two names, right? And you kind of say, okay, this we're doing, but like you're maxing out at a, 45-win team there? And that's what all this was for. So it's interesting. I mean, the summer is going to be fascinating. Ping pong balls are going to determine things. Maybe you get the number one pick. Maybe you can enter the Anthony Davis sweepstakes. It's just going to be a really fascinating and consequential summer for the Knicks.
If it is a hypothetical of Kemba Walker as well as DeMarcus Cousins, how would that be received?
That's actually a good question, right? That's a really good question. I feel like for the Jets, I mean, here, when you say received, right, fan bases are large. It's like when people say the media does this.
And yeah.
Like, what does the media mean? There's all the different types of people in the media and different outlets. You know what? You kind of stumped me there. I think in the present, people would be happy. I think we're not happy. People would be disappointed. But, you know, it'd be nice to see some decent basketball in New York. That's been, I don't know, how many years now? 5, 6, 7? So that'd be good. But, yeah, I do think there'd be disappointment. I guess that's how I would put it. That's a good question, yeah. Knicks fans could be sold on lots of things. So don't put that past them.
I was going to say, it just almost seems that, like, when your general manager, Scott Perry, and you're putting all your eggs into one basket, then all of a sudden, if you have to divert to plan B, C, or D, then it becomes a big issue, and then you've already hyped your fan base up. And then all of a sudden, you're kind of left with a good present, but not the biggest present that you could have possibly had. But let's talk about Dennis Smith Jr. I thought he was an interesting piece of that trade. You know, obviously, a dynamic point guard in the draft 2 years ago, had a pretty good rookie season. Wouldn't say a great rookie season, but everybody's enamored with his athleticism. We saw it in the slam dunk contest. How much is he a plan of the future, and how much Do they plan to utilize him kind of going down the stretch this year, or is this just them trying to figure out what they have with them?
It's more the last, right? I mean, they're funny, right? They keep bringing in. No team loves, I'm not going to call them failed. I'll call them discarded first-round picks or lottery picks more than the Knicks, right? So you have Dennis Smith, Moutier, Trey Burke was here. They signed Perry Ellison. I'm forgetting, there's like five other guys. This was kind of their thing. That they, Noah Vonleh, guys like that they would bring in. It's weird, though, because they hype these guys up, and they talk about how much of a part of the future they are. Like with Emmanuel Mudiay, for example, right? They've been hyping him up, and then they bring in Dennis Smith. So it's kind of like, wait, so I thought you guys loved Mudiay. The other weird part is, how do any of these guys fit in if your plan A is to bring in guys like Kyrie and Durant, guys who are going to, or in top free agent, a guy who's going to, you know, want the ball in his hands, create, where you're going to have other players play off of them. So it's kind of a long-winded way of saying, I don't think they really know. I think it's kind of like roulette here, which maybe is not necessarily a bad thing, right? Dennis Smith's a good player to be playing that roulette with. He'll be signed. I mean, he's signed through the next couple of years here on a team-friendly deal. And I agree with you. Bringing him in is a good move, right? And I feel like there's a good – maybe he's not the stud everyone thought he might be. You know, he takes summer league over and things like that. But why can't he be a good sixth man off the bench? And I mean that in a complimentary way. You know, I think that's a really valuable role. I think people are often too quick to give up on first-round picks.
Oh, absolutely. The numbers, too, haven't been too bad. 16 points, 6.9 assists, 2.9 rebounds, and a short stint with the Knicks. Also had a 31-point game against Detroit. So there have been flashes. Mm-hmm. This is also a guy that basically wasn't even in the rotation in Dallas because they were just giving the ball to Luka Doncic and saying, go do your thing, and telling DSJ to sit in the corner. So he's also trying to have to refigure out his role. What about Kevin Knox and Mitchell Robinson? Those two guys that picked in the draft. Mitchell Robinson was the guy that sat out all of his college, what would have been his freshman season. But they seem like they have a pretty good foundation in those two guys as well.
Yeah, you have to give the Knicks credit for the draft last year, right? You know, like, who knows? The way I kind of always look at it is, like, you know, your job is to get the guys in there. That means you did a good draft. If the guys are talented and clearly have something from here on out, it's player development and all that stuff. It's kind of a separate evaluation. The draft, they did a good job, right? Mitchell Robinson was a great pick. In the second round, they get a guy who's already, you know, blocking 6, 7, 8 shots in games. He's got a long way to go. He fouls a ton. He can't really do anything on offense other than jump and catch alley-oops. But to have a guy like that in the second round who, you know, it's almost like the Clint Capella comparison gets brought up. But Robinson's about 3-4 inches taller, right? So there's a lot of intrigue there in terms of going forward. Knox also, it's funny, I was just talking about this with someone yesterday. It's been a long rookie season for him as he kind of started in July when he kind of took over summer league. It's been up and down. And it's like you can when a guy comes out like that at summer league and looks fantastic, it's easy to kind of be down on him when the real game starts. Suddenly he's not scoring 35, but he's going 5 for, you know, 15 and scoring 12 points. But Knox has been good. Got a long way to go. He needs to work on shooting his ball handling, defense, like many rookies do. But it's a good foundation for the Knicks, for certainly.
Well, it should be fun to watch tonight. Magic and Knicks getting set for what is a 7:30 tip time. Hey, Yaron, thank you so much for taking the time and joining us. We really appreciate it.
Thanks for having me on. Anytime.
Anytime. That was Yaron Weitzman of Bleacher Report. Go check him out on Twitter. He's a good follow. Also has a pretty good book coming out about the Sixers and everything that they've done. He follows them extensively as well, too. Hey, just speaking of those Sixers, being there live at the Amway Center when the Orlando Magic hosts the Philadelphia 76ers. Monday, March 25th at 7 p.m. Cheer on your team as they battle Ben Simmons, Joel Embiid, and the rest of the Sixers for one of the biggest games of the campaign. Get your tickets now at OrlandoMagic.com to see the Magic play the Sixers today. Okay, on the other side, we're going to have some fun. It's a light night in the NBA, just 3 total games. Cody and I will take a look around the loop as we get you set for all of the NBA action coming up. You're listening to Magic Drive Time, presented by International Diamond Center.
When it comes to the best diamonds at the best prices in Florida, Magic fans choose International Diamond Center. It's why IDC has earned the title Exclusive Jeweler of the Orlando Magic year after year. IDC dominates the competition every day with a massive inventory of hand-selected diamonds, literally thousands of designer rings, an unparalleled selection of fashion jewelry, the guaranteed best values in America, and the strongest warranties in the jewelry industry. Learn more at shopidc.com/gomagic, where Magic fans shop for jewelry.
Hey Magic fans, book a suite for any Orlando Magic basketball game this season and make your next event pure magic.
Put it up, missed it, Bamba cleaned it all up. Omo up top with a hand, right one, and put it down and in.
Whether you're hosting clients, employees, family, or friends, we have the perfect space for you. The Amway Center Suites offer first-class service, premium amenities, and new all-inclusive food and beverage packages. Let us take care of you for the night. What are you waiting for? Call 407-89-MAGIC to book your suite today.
buying a home? I know saving up for down payment and closing costs can be tough, so I want to help. I'm Robert Palmer, and I have a special offer for home buyers. When you use a real estate agent from my new company, Listed.com, and get your mortgage from RP Funding, I'll pay all your closing costs. Check out Listed.com, where you can search homes for sale. And when you bundle a Listed.com agent with RP Funding, I'll pay all your closing costs. Call 855-773-8634 or visit rpfunding.com.
Terms and conditions apply. See website and MLS 701-68 Equal Housing.
You're listening to Magic Drive Time.
It's really fun. It's really fun. You know, it's the time of the year where, you know, you want to play meaningful games, and we are right now. So, you know, we're right in the middle of the playoff race, and again, we got to keep it going.
Right in the middle of it, man. You might be as high as a sixth seed when this is all said and done. I think you're more than right in the middle on it. Not just are you on the cuffs, you could be in it after tonight. That is the voice of Evan Fournier talking about this Orlando Magic team. Right now, just a half game back of the eighth and final playoff spot in the Eastern Conference. A win today would be really interesting. Get a win today. You host Golden State on Thursday. Got to get one tonight. Got to sweep this road trip. Okay, with that said, hi, everybody. Welcome back to Magic Drive Time presented by International Diamond Center. My name is Aaron Berlin. My producer today, Cody. Special thanks to Yaron Weitzman from the Bleacher Report joining us in the first segment. Thought he gave us some good insight about everything that's going on in New York and in Gotham. Look, this is the weirdest, oddest, most perplexing, most frustrating, most vexing, any adjectives that you want to use to describe this New York Knicks team that I can remember in a long, long time. And I am amazed that Knicks fans are just okay with it, that they're fine with it, that they're dealing with it. Because I'll tell you what, if this was the New York Yankees, I don't think that would ever happen. Brian Cashman had a season like the Knicks are having this year. I don't know if he would make it through. But, you know, it's the difference in the franchises. Yankees had a couple years where they struggled, never completely bottomed out. Was able to rebuild their draft capital, rebuild their farm system, and now look where they are. So, it's interesting. Different takes. Everybody does different things. But Magic and Knicks tonight at 7:30. This is the third meeting of four between these two teams this year. Magic already topped the first two. Last meeting will come here in Orlando on April 3rd. Magic currently own a four-game winning streak inside Madison Square Garden. How about that? Look that up today. Didn't expect to see that. So that'll be interesting. Well, with the Magic and the Knicks tipping off at 7:30, and with the gap in programming, Cody and I thought that we could have some fun. It's a light night in the NBA, not a lot going on, only two other games. We thought we'd take a look around the loop and give you a little tonight in the NBA.
Get fired up. Let's go around the association. With tonight in the NBA.
Light night, what do you got for us so far, Cody?
Let's set the scene on the 8 o'clock tip-off. It's Toronto and Boston. Toronto is second in the East right now, 44-17. They are 2.5 games back of Milwaukee. Boston, on the flip side, fifth in the Eastern Conference. They're 37-23. And look, Boston's trying to close out a quick three-game road trip that has been, quite frankly, embarrassing. A tough loss against Milwaukee, and they used the word themselves, embarrassing. A loss in Chicago, where Chicago took it to them. And you and I have talked about it, and I've talked about it on this program with you, with Dante. Coming into the year, Boston was, for me, right there. They could come out of the East. But their struggles this season have been really tough, and it's one of those things where you just didn't expect, with them being able to add Kyrie, add Gordon Hayward, that the season would play out as it has now.
And it almost seems like the young guys who got all that experience in the playoffs last year, now that they're not the focal point of the offense, now that they're not dominating the basketball, and it's not kind of that ever-flowing offense like what we saw in the playoffs last year, it almost seems like those guys, Brown, Tatum, they have regressed a little bit because they're not the focal point. Look, Kyrie dominates and commands so much attention on the offensive side that he has to. But it's weird just how much of a step that they've taken back. Also, I'm really concerned about a culture issue right there. We heard the comments from Marcus Morris about how that they're not having any fun anymore. Kyrie in the game here with the Magic one on a last-second shot where they missed it, where he wanted the basketball clearly, but instead it went to the corner for his shot with Tatum. It seems like they have a lot of issues within their own confines of their team. And if I'm a Boston fan, Cody, and you can speak to this, you grew up as a Boston sports fan, but that is very concerning because you can fix little minor incremental foundational pieces, You can't fix culture in one day.
Well, no, and one of the, it's so interesting. I think you can see this. You could see this Boston team kind of putting the pieces together, the talents there for them to run through the East and potentially go to the finals. But I don't think you'd have a very large portion of people be surprised that they could bow out in the first round.
Absolutely. And the thing is, it's not going to happen overnight. It's not just going to flip a switch and it's going to be okay. I mean, we're 60 some odd games into this now. If you don't know who you are, then you got a big time problem. So that one's going to be interesting to watch. I think that's going to eventually be an Eastern Conference playoff series. It's going to be a fun one tonight.
Well, and Boston has played well against the top teams in the East, so something to watch. The late game tonight, it's the Oklahoma City Thunder. It's the Denver Nuggets. The Oklahoma City Thunder led by Paul George. I saw this earlier today in his last five games. He's averaging 35, 10, and 6. The Denver Nuggets are the ultimate team, like in the sense of the word team. They have, you know, no really stars out there. They have Jamal Murray. They have Nikola Jokic. But this is a team that is extremely deep, and I'm really looking forward to this matchup tonight because these are two teams that I think could go toe-to-toe with Golden State in the West.
Is Denver the best team ever where it's just like nobody really knows their big-time stars? You know,
they're getting
you know Murray, you know Jokic, but like everybody else, you're kind of like, eh.
You're getting the most out of Malik Beasley. You're getting the most out of guys like Monte Morris. It's really fun to watch. It really is.
And they have been so good all season long. You know, Richie Adubato loves to talk about they have the best home court advantage with the altitude
Absolutely.
And all that. You know, sometimes you just get a basketball team and you know how to play, and that's exactly what the Denver Nuggets are. But how about Oklahoma City? And you mentioned the numbers of Paul George. Like, it is incredible what he has done this year.
I've been on the shout. He's my MVP.
That is to your credit. You have been there every step of the way. But it almost feels like he finally realized that, dude, I'm a top five player in this league, and I'm going to go out and ball like it every single night. Like, it's been a lot of fun. I think year one in OKC was him trying to kind of get his bearings, get his feet wet, didn't want to disrupt too much stuff. But now that he and Russ Westbrook are running mates, it really seems like it's taken off well there. Well, that'll do it for us here on Magic Drive Time, presented by International Diamond Center. Magic and Knicks, it is a 7:30 tip time, so that means Brandon Kravitz will have Magic tonight coming your way beginning at 7 o'clock. Big one for the Magic. Ninth right now in the Eastern Conference, half game back, a win tonight. Then you start talking. You start really getting involved into it. Hey, just a reminder, you can see a series of thrilling NBA games for one low price with a Slam Dunk Fast Break Pass. Purchase one pass for only $39 and see four Magic home games in March and April. All you got to do, visit OrlandoMagic.com/FastBreak to purchase your Slam Dunk Pass today. All right, that does it for us. Dante's back in his chair tomorrow. Everybody, enjoy your Tuesday.
Our Magic never compromise on the court, and Magic fans don't have to compromise when it comes to diamonds, engagement rings, and fine jewelry. You always get more at International Diamond Center. IDC is Florida's leading jeweler, recognized statewide for excellence in every category, selection, value, and trust. And that's why we've been named Exclusive Jeweler of the Orlando Magic again this year. So come visit one of our 8 showrooms across the state or 24/7 at shopidc.com/gomagic. International Diamond Center, where Magic fans shop for jewelry.
Chick-fil-A has teamed up with the Magic to reward fans with free original chicken sandwiches. If the Magic hit 5 or more three-pointers in a home game, everyone in attendance of that game will win a free original chicken sandwich from Chick-fil-A.
Left corner, that's 48-43. Got it to go.
People have fun.
All you have to do is take your ticket stub or your redemption offer in the Magic app at any participating Central Florida location for a free original chicken sandwich. For official rules, visit OrlandoMagic.com/Chick-fil-A.
You're listening to Magic Drive Time.